and we're in negotiations with the tax commissioner's office to do the billing of taxes, ad valorem taxes for the city. They are planning to give all the residences of DeKalb, the homestead exemption who have filed with DeKalb. Just to ensure there are no issues with this process, we're going to, in addition to that process, ask all of the residences to file with the city the exemption, just to eliminate any possibility of snap use or future issues. That's the plan going forward. Warren could address how we're going to actually implement.
We will be having a three-pronged approach to handle this. The first thing we're going to do is put something on our website that will actually have the application. It'll be in a PDF format. They'll fill it out, do an electronic signature, hit submit. It will come to our finance administration group, and we'll put on file appropriately. We'll also have the application available at City Hall and to be able to mail to people if they so choose. So we'll have a snail mail, an online version. It can be emailed to people. And then thirdly, we're going to try and request from the crier for them to run the actual application in the paper so people can cut it out and mail it in, fax it in, scan it in, however they want to get us to us, they will. We're also going to be advising people, you know, it's best to get the form in and get it submitted. But as Brian stated before, that everybody will get their exemption one way or another. This is just in case something challenges later on. It's best to have it on file.
Okay. Questions, Dan? Are we planning to send out any kind of mail or anything? And what's the due date? March 15th is the due date, isn't it?
March 1st. The county has March 1st. Yeah.
March 1st, okay. Are we planning to send out any kind of letter or anything to make people aware of this? We just happen to refer to our website.
I think as we're looking at it, we'll certainly use the crier to alert people, but also possibly some other vehicles within the community, on some of the homeowners associations, and try and get the word out that way. Doing an actual mailer to all of our residents is going to be costly because of the number of mailers that we have to send out. But we're going to try to find some other vehicles to also get this in on. Again, you know, from a risk-reward standpoint, March 1st isn't a cutoff of saying, you know, you can't get this in, so we can go beyond that deadline just to have it on file, since we're going to give the exemption whether they get it in by March 1st or not.
Adrian? Do you know how soon you'll have that up on the website?
By the end of this week.
By the end of this
week? Dan? I would just suggest to you also that a lot of us have a pretty extensive email list, and we had the email list. Can I ask a question to somebody in the audience?
Sure.
Did you, Ms. Wingate? our email list from Dunwoody, yes, that's fairly extensive.
I have spoken.
Okay. And, you know, and then I think on that we could ask everyone to forward it to everyone else. And I think it's very imperative that we make every effort to get every citizen. You know, everybody doesn't read the choir, everybody doesn't go on the website. And so.
John? Warren, if you were to get me 1,000 copies, I have a newsletter going out to every household in the Dunwoody North subdivision. I will personally mail them. I'll pick them up on Thursday.
How about your blog, John?
It'll be on.
It'll be there.
VHA has an extensive mailing list. We perhaps asked the VHA if they could mail out all of their to their mailing list.
I've got 3,000 plus
emails
this year.
Okay, but then, you know, there's 39,000 folks here, so.
But houses? How many houses?
12,000. 14,000 to 15,000 is the last I saw. 14,200, so.
Yeah, but they're not all owner-occupied. They're about 12,000 that are owner-occupied.
The only other suggestion is in those means of communication, it lists the contact number for people that, you know, don't have a web presence.
Robert? Is there value in us passing a resolution that authorizes the tax commissioner to use the homestead status in DeKalb, again, as an opportunity to protect ourselves from anybody challenging this?
Yeah, we anticipate doing that as part of the IGA. When you approve the IGA, do that simultaneously.
Are we going to look through the forms that we get and do anything by way of follow-up for the people who don't send it in? I mean, this is a huge task if you're looking to correlate 12,000 people and whether you're going to do any follow-up. And I guess my hope is that you're not, right? I mean, I think in truth that this is an exercise in guarding against the far-fetched. And I hope we're not going to allow ourselves to spend too much time and energy on
it. I feel the exact same way in that we certainly have other things to accomplish from a time and financial standpoint. We think that the relative risk of something negative happening if we don't have these 12,000 on file versus the cost and the effort involved in trying to bring that in, we think the risk is very low. So no, we don't have any plans to follow up or track these other than to make sure that they're logged in as they come in. But we're not planning on contacting folks or doing any extra effort in that arena.
And on a completely unrelated note, it's just occurred to me as we've been chatting, did we budget in this year's budget the cost of having the tax commissioner do our taxes? Okay. So we have an expense item for that. Okay, good. It just now occurred to me that we're going to have to pay them to send out our tax bills.
Any other questions or more, Brian?
I just brought it up because, maybe think-sos and probably aren't good enough here. We have to be, they have to be secure and in effect for all the citizens. This is not something to play with. So anything we need to do to make sure this happens across the board to 100%, we need to do it.
Any other questions for, yes, Jeff?
One other point of information. I talked to Chief Grogan about a calling list via email or via phone bank. We might want to have a public information site whereby residents could make sure that we have their contact information, in the sense of if we ever did want to have a police alert go out via phone, if we had a list of phone numbers, we might be able to use that at some point in the future, if not for public safety, for items like this. The mass phone call system is rather inexpensive, and it's just something to think about down the road.
It's a good idea. So your suggestion is to gather that information on them?
For example, in my neighborhood, I have over 800 phone numbers. If a house is broken into, we can put a phone call out, and 800 houses are called within 20 minutes, and it's rather inexpensive. But again, it's a matter of collecting data, maintaining data.
So can you ask for that on the form? Will you?
It's John. We definitely can put a lot of on the form for just like email addresses and phone numbers.
Absolutely.
Okay. We sent out the Ms. Wendy again here. We sent this out the mailers and etc. in Dunwoody. We had the extensive list that was compiled by our consultant. And I think I can tell you the total cost of that was right at $500.
Why, you got robocalls or mailers?
Robocalls.
Robocalls was under $5. It was more like $50 to $4 in that category of cybercalls.
There are some very innovative programs out there. It's called a reverse 911 system, which is a little bit different than the robocall. That's typically what we would use if we were to put that system in place. And that actually lets you pick out geographically exactly where you want to send the calls, and you can automate the messages. And it's a valuable public safety tool, but certainly that's a walking before crawling kind of issue, but certainly that's on our radar.
Yeah. I think the chief had something to add. Right. That was basically what I was going to say. So just some of the more newer programs are web-based, so people can you can do it a lot of different ways. They capture certain numbers, but you can also opt in. And they can put, hey, here's my number, I want a text message sent to me, if there's information that comes out or whatever. So that's something we certainly can do.
I asked registered voters.
Anybody else have anything? Okay. Thank you.
I'm just wondering, and this is an opportunity for us to communicate with the homeowners and the people of Dunwoody, and it seems to me like a mailer just to make sure that we're covering all the cracks here. It might be appropriate. We've got makeshift ways here that we're going to cover part of it in Dunwoody North, and part of it that I have in my little mailing list, and part of it that other people have. But it seems to me that we ought to send this out to everybody and use this as an opportunity to communicate with the people of Dunwoody. I don't know what the cost would be. I didn't send out a mailer to all the people of Dunwoody, but what did you pay to, just for a partial mailing list?
You know, it was around $5,000 for about 5,000 pieces, right? It's about a dollar a piece. By the time you pay the graphics and you know, printing and postage and buy the list and sort it by zip code and all the rest of that stuff. So it's about it was about a dollar a piece. So we'd be looking at about $12,000.
Yes, Dan.
I can tell you from doing that, you know, in Dunwoody, yes. I think, you know, the coverage would probably maybe be a little bit better with a calling system. Because it's more complete. It's quick. It can be out. If you want to do it tomorrow, it can be out tomorrow. And people all have it within about 30 minutes after you stick it on the line. And then the outfits, they're right out of Alexandria, Virginia. You know, I got their number and everything. But I think if we're going to mass notify everybody, I think your robocall is the way to get to people right away and get to them fast, give them plenty of time to do this. And it's also the most economical by quite a bit. And, you know, most of the mailings that Robert's talking about, when we did the mailings, we did the 2 and 4, 1 and 3 marine type, and those were over 5,000 a piece. And that was so you can see what you're mailing out and how many of those you get back. They have a real good accurate, and the chief's probably talking about something that I don't know anything about. All I know about is robocalls. And either way you do that, I think if we get it, it's clean, it's quick, it's out, and it's reasonably priced, and we're not wasting the
taxpayer. All right, can you guys look at that, look at the robocall option and get a quote and get back to contact us? Okay, any other comments?
If there would be graphics involved, this would essentially be a letter, just like we have sent out to all the citizens before, so at least that would cut down on the expense if we did decide to send it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Brian, did even DeKalb County, did they ever send a mass?
Yeah, it was just a letter, so it would just be the printing process.
Sure. Letter with information on the outside of the envelope to make sure you open it.
All right. Finally, we get that on calls.
So next is new business. It's a first read. An ordinance to re-adopt and re-approve Chapter 21, signs providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, in reference to the future of Chapter 21, signs, as attached here to and incorporated herein.
All right, thank you. So I'm going to continue what we started last meeting until we get to our retreat and discuss this further, but just discussion on first reads, and I'll ask, is there anybody at staff that can speak to this right now? To this ordinance? Super.
It's stated on your agenda, this is a proposal to re-adopt the sign code. This is exactly the same language that was adopted on December 18th of last year, so there's been no text change. This is a re-adoption process.
That should make it fairly easy. Any questions for Jennifer?
Yeah, I just have one question. On the ordinance, it says a second read and properly advertised public hearing has been held on January 26th.
That's the ad that is being run.
Okay. December 18th, I realize, I know why we did everything again that we did prior to December. September 1st. But why are we doing these things again when we did them on December 18th? Anybody help me out here? I'm kind of like Robert. I want to know how many more times we need to do
this. This will be the last time.
This will be the last time?
Yeah, prior to the adoption.
Next week will be the last.
Next week. The public hearing will be the last one. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why is because we have now, we have the new updated zoning maps. The sign ordinance relies on zoning. So we want to make sure that everything is crossed out and changed in the redo of the zoning. We want to make
sense. That helps.
All right. Any questions from anybody on this?
That helps.
All right. Thanks. Thanks,
Tim. Thank you.
All right, Brian, we're ready when you're ready.
Next one is Resolution 2009-01. A resolution terminating the moratorium in the city of Dunwoody except for applications for the issuance of signed permits.
I move we adopt the resolution that ends the moratorium.
Second. Any discussion on this?
Yes, and can we do this and we still on the first read? We haven't had public hearing on the ordinance that deals with this.
Second signs?
Yeah.
We're not lifting the moratorium on signs.
This is everything but signs.
Right.
So this allows for...
Yeah. All right, any other discussion on that? All right, seeing if there's none all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Open for business. Open for business.
Next one, Resolution 2009-01-05, a resolution to adopt a city clerk in the city of Dunwoody.
I move we adopt the city clerk in the city of Dunwoody.
Enthusiastically second.
Thank you there, Danny. I'll start off this discussion. Everybody has met Ms. Sharon Lowry. She's who's going to be a great asset to this community, I believe. So I'm excited to have her come on board. She's been with the city of Snellville for 24-plus years and is just a heck of a person, a lot of qualifications. She served as clerk and CFO.
Elections
officer, so she's a woman that can wear many, many hats, excited to have her on board. Any other discussion on that? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Welcome to Sharon. All right, Brian.
Okay, next one is Resolution 2009-0106. The resolution is opting for approving the permitting criteria for consumption of alcohol in city parks.
And make a motion to...
I move that we adopt the resolution allowing for criteria for consumption of alcohol in city parks.
Second, all right. A discussion on this. Warren, start us off.
Attached, you'll see Exhibit A, which is the actual resolution that sets the fees and criteria for the issuance of the permits for nonprofit groups for the consumption of alcohol. The fee is $25 for a single event or $100 for an annual permit, and that is intended to cover the administrative costs and bare minimums of the review of the applications and any implementation that needs to occur. And then we've set a number of factors to look at evaluating the applications. So the goal again with this is to go ahead and grant the permit, not to stop somebody from getting the permit, but it sets some basic guidelines. And it's basically one is to make sure they're a qualified nonprofit group. The second one is that they've actually made application in writing on a form approved by the city. Third one is that the event is in a public park and is being sponsored by the applicant to make sure that you kind of don't get someone applying and then somebody else actually having the event. that they pay the full cost of the fee at the time of submission. They need to submit to me a plan for security that will ensure that no minors have access to alcohol and that no alcohol is carried beyond the boundaries of the event or activity. Also, that no glass bottles or bar glasses be allowed in the activity to make sure, from a safety standpoint, that all the alcohol is plastic or aluminum. And then also specifies that because some of the parks that we have are open to all residents, that the applicant need not be a resident of the city of Dunwoody. So it gives some ability for other folks that are involved in our community and not necessarily live here to be involved in the events. I'd be happy to answer any questions that y'all might have.
John, do we see this as allowing somebody to set up a beer tent and charge money and sell alcohol, or would that be separate? Is this only a BYOB type permit?
This would be, it would require a different permit to sell alcohol for profit or for revenue.
But this cannot serve under this permit.
Okay, just wanted to be optional.
That's a good point. I just wondered if that should be added. That's one of the points. The other one is, I just wonder if we qualify this enough to protect, because it says city parks, and when we talk about city parks, I'm thinking that that includes the baseball park, which I do not think should be included in this, because the last thing we need is any type of alcoholic beverages where our young children are playing baseball to excite the crowd. I don't know if that's reading through here. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know where that all, how that comes across. And my second point would be, some of the organizations that are going to be paying these fees are supported by all of us, the Dunwoody Nature Center, for one. And I wonder, you know, if it's something that we donate the money to get them going, and then we take money back. I mean, the citizens all donate money, and then the city takes some of that money back for a fee. I don't know. Does DeKalb County currently charge somebody like the Nature Center a permit fee?
Anybody answer that?
No idea.
I would assume they do, because they do have a permitting process. DeKalb County is very good at that, but I cannot state definitively.
Okay, Warren, can you address the Denny's concern with the baseball fire?
My take on it at first blush is that, you know, public park is going to include the full boundaries of those parks. Certainly can exclude certain areas. It would be, I think, difficult on the floor here to try and figure out how to word that to exclude certain parts of the park unless you did it by a separate exhibit and show the boundaries by map. And then I think also items E on the factors for evaluating the application will certainly weigh on my mind, is to make sure that we don't, you know, for example, if somebody came to me and said, you know, they would like to set up a tent right outside the playground at Brook Run Park, and that they didn't have a plan for how to monitor it, certainly that's going to be a no-no, according to item E on the making sure that they have a good plan to make sure there's no access to alcohol for minors, but that doesn't necessarily cover, you know, adults wanting to drink in the stands. They would have to be through a permit through the nonprofit group. I think it is potentially a loophole, but it would be complicated to close it, but not possible.
Yeah. I'm just taking it for granted that the Dunwoody Senior Baseball wouldn't be applying for the permit, therefore it wouldn't be allowed in the Blight Baseball section, and it would have to be alcohol in the Nature Center would have to be under the control of the Nature Center activities, therefore if you were drinking there in the stands, it wouldn't be under their guise, so therefore it wouldn't be allowed if they didn't apply for it.
Well, legally, I think that's, you know, that might be the intent, but I do not think that states that. I do not think we have a situation here where, you know, that prevents that either. I think that has to be cleared up, and I think also the fee, you know, DeKalb County charges that, okay, but just remember, a lot of the 501(c)(3)s are all supported by all the citizens here in Dunwoody, and whether they turn right around and charge them a permit fee, I don't know. That's not Robin's here to pay Paul, but I would like to have more ironclad language in here to protect places like Ivy, the Brook Run playground area, and the Dunwoody senior baseball player.
Are you going to defer working on this until we have more specifics and we're able to do another one?
She has motion to defer.
Second.
Is there a second discussion on that?
Yes, we've already passed the ordinance. Therefore, there is no criteria to issue these permits. I would recommend that we go ahead and adopt this, and you could adopt it again or readopt with additional criteria amendments at the next meeting. But I recommend you adopt this and then give staff the mission to tighten it up and bring that forward to you at the next meeting.
Okay. So Brian's saying the ordinance is already passed. We need something to fit into the ordinance for the time being until this gets amended with tighter language. Yes.
I just want to point out that I'm not sure that we want to necessarily have a prohibition about allowing an organization to use the baseball fields when there isn't a game going on. There isn't really, it's not really the location as much as the activity. Because if it's like right now and there's no baseball going on and some group wants to have, some nonprofit wants to use that area and wants to apply for a permit, there shouldn't be any reason that we should prohibit them from doing that. Your concern, Denny, is that during a particular activity, which is these Little League baseball games, I'm not sure that the right approach is just to cordon off an area and say the city manager can't issue a group a permit to have an event in that area. It's more that you don't want the mixture of the two events going on, right?
Well, that's one thing. And the other thing is, you know, it's the same reason why Brook Run Skate Park isn't so popular with all the citizens that live around Brook Run. You know, it creates a little noise, a little lights, and everything else. And to have people back in the Dunwoody baseball area, you know, having whatever they're having, the parties or something, I don't think that's what we want in the city of Dunwoody. You know, but my main purpose, yes, is to keep the alcohol away from any sporting events where the kids are, or any other places where the kids are. That's the whole idea. I've been coaching for just too many years. I've seen too many hotheads, and it's just not what you need.
Okay. Any other discussion on?
I guess just two questions for Warren. One is, this gives you a lot of discretion. Common sense to, you know, what permits issued or not, I guess, trying to find the right words there.
Okay.
Second one, this is just an observation. It says no glass bottles, so we get to bring our favorite box wine if you're going to have wine this morning.
Yeah. or plastic.
Gotcha.
Plastic.
That's a good point. No glass is a good rule. I do. Yeah. I do like that. So the, yes, Dan.
If the Nature Center 501(c)(3) is having an event and it hires a special events operation to run that special event. Does that fall under this? The Nature Center gets the permit and they turn it over to the Pavillon to...
That would be no problem.
Okay.
Thank you, David. Okay, so we are at a motion to defer. I believe it had a second. Brian recommends that this does not get deferred. So, yeah. Okay.
You can't
take back the deferral.
Well, you can just vote on it.
I'm going to go ahead and vote on this because
the second has to take up first.
Okay.
I'll remove that as long as we have assurance that will be tightened up for the ball field and the other areas. A couple other things that I think we need to discuss there on this issue before we start passing some issue like this.
All right, Robert.
No, I'll leave it.
Okay. Okay, I'll leave it.
All right, so we're back to this motion to pass this. If my mind serves me correctly, so all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Unless you have a
point of information.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe our city charter actually deliberately doesn't allow for an abstention.
You're correct.
You're only allowed to vote yea or nay, or you have to recuse yourself for a conflict of interest.
All right, we have an affirmative. The resolution passes. All right, so we're at an action item, discussion and vote on canceling the July 19th regularly scheduled meeting. That is January 19th. Is that what I said?
You said July.
I guess I'm just being hopeful.
When's July 19th?
It is, of course, MLK holiday. So,
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to point out that there was supposed to be a public hearing at that time, which had been re-advertised for the following week, so that would also be canceled.
Okay. All right. We have a second discussion on this. Seeing there's no discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Now you can go back.
Point of information. Yeah. Are we going to reschedule this meeting to a later date in the week?
It's set for the 26th.
Okay, next action item is approval of amended position allocation chart for the city assembly. Tab 6.
Mayor and Council, the amended chart reflects the organizational chart for the police department, the rest of the position with the police department.
Okay. We have, I think we need a motion to approve this first.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All right, discussion. John.
Chief, can you tell us the difference between this and the immediate prior list?
I think the last list only had the chief of police, deputy chief, and lieutenant positions. So it's the sergeant and executive assistant. It's the other position. It's the sergeant, police officer, police service representative, crime scene tech, and property evidence tech are the new positions.
Denny? Chief, can you tell me what's the difference between these numbers and the numbers that are on the
last one?
There's no difference.
And these numbers, we can afford these numbers within that budget?
Yes.
And we won't go out of that budget at all?
Any other questions for Chief Danny?
Possible for us. Captain Tater and I have meetings with the city policeman chief at Sandy Springs, and he is very eager to share some resources. Are any of these resources some that we could share with other cities? Well, we don't need a full-time person.
I don't believe it also.
Any other questions?
I have talked with the Sandy Springs chief and, of course, the other chiefs in the area, and there are some things that we'll certainly be collaborating with them on and sharing resources, but the basic services are not.
Any other questions for chief? Any other discussion?
What you're hearing is what you're saying.
Chief, your position of deputy chief and executive assistant are
that's what the question is. Does that match the budget? Okay, yes.
Is that redundancy at all? Can you tell me the differential in duties? Is the one just an assistant, an administrative assistant?
Yeah, the executive assistant is a non-sworn position, like an administrative assistant, who will be handling, answering phone calls, administrative things, filing for not only myself, but for the deputy chief and any other people in the department that needs that particular function.
Any other questions for Chief? All right, and thank you, Chief. Any other discussion on this? I see that there's none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The next, number seven, action item, approval of the amended pay range chart.
This is the...
I'm sorry? Okay. Yes, sir. Brian, can you clarify, please, on procedure for this? Can we, before we move to accept or deny, can we hear from staff or no?
Yeah, you can. It would be your prerogative, and it's a problem.
It makes a lot more sense to me. Let's hear from staff first before we make a motion of that.
Sure. This is the suggested pay range for the position that we just discussed that were added to the allocation chart. These numbers were arrived at after consulting with our human resource director and reviewing what other departments are paying, and also to try to be competitive in the market as we try to stand up the police department by April 1st.
Great. Brian, is also a procedure that I can ask council to ask questions of staff at this time?
I would not do go that far. Okay. Let me look that up. I would not qualify discussion.
All right. And there's a motion on the floor to
approve the discussion.
Okay.
Second.
All right. There's a second. All right. Discussion. Questions for Chief. We'll start on this end. Tom, do you have anything?
Chief, has anything changed since last? On this, it's the same number that are in the budget. Yes, we talked about.
Yes, we do.
This is just a typo that says, you know, we're patrol officer should be 20.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, actually that, that column can actually just be removed. It does not control the way that's in, but we have to just figure that out.
That's correct.
Okay, I have one question.
Okay.
I could have asked last round, but this frames the definition. We only have one. When that person's on vacation, there's going to be somebody cross-trained.
Right. Well, what we do is we'll have police officers that can do kind of basic crime scene type stuff, and then we'll have to, train them to a level where they can do more extensive things, and the crime scene tech, particularly this one, or the major type crime scenes, and certainly we'll be cross-trained with that.
How many officers?
Yeah. Chief, I got a question on the average lows and highs on the patrol officers. Where did that data come from?
That's our suggested rate based on looking at other police departments. We looked at Sandy Springs, Shamblin, Peachtree City, Balloons, Marietta, different departments, and kind of looked at what their low is and what their high is.
Okay. Thank you. Robert.
To follow up on that, I'm surprised at how big the range is for a couple of these. Patrol officer, the range is, make sure I get this right, 38.5 to 57.2. That's a very large range. And the administrative assistant's another one, 40,000 to almost 60,000. If you're looking to pay $60,000 for an administrative assistant, I know a lot of folks would be interested in that job.
No, we're not looking to pay the high end of that range. That's the range so that obviously if we hire somebody, they have somewhere where they can go in the future. But certainly we're going to look at their years of experience and hire within that range and obviously trying to be fiscally responsible with that also.
Chief, I guess just for clarification on what Robert said, would that be based on things like experience, advanced certifications, things like that, like EMT or things, whatever certifications?
Yes.
Okay, merit-based.
And
Chief, your budget, you said that everything was within budget. Is that figured on an average of this? Is that figured on the low, the high, or what?
Close to the midpoint, maybe slightly less than the midpoint. may hire, you know, a fair number, for instance, patrol officers, we may hire a fair number below that.
Patrol officers are making somewhere in the neighborhood of $47,000-$48,000 around the neighborhood?
That would probably be the more experienced officers, yes, sir.
Another question, yeah, Robert?
Yeah. I don't know that we're going to have this situation, but help me understand how we guard against it. Suppose we are slow to hire all these positions. A lot of them we need for April 1st. Many of them are going to trickle in over the year. Because they trickle in, there'll be money in the budget. Even if we come in at average salaries that are higher than what you're thinking, we could find ourselves inside these ranges in budget, but handcuffed next year, because by the time we hired everybody and we paid them a little more than we expected, that we're now not able to sort of keep the same run rate. How do we keep a good eye on that so that we don't find ourselves in that position?
Well, we've looked at a couple of different, and I've worked with the city manager to kind of get a ballpark idea of here's what we want to pay. And so, for instance, say if it was for the more senior, trained, experienced officer, patrol officer, we hired him in at, just say, 45, 46, 47, whatever it is, we're not all of a sudden going to hire somebody in at 50 or 55 or something like that. We're going to have kind of guidelines on these ranges in order to prevent that from happening.
Okay. And how many of those 59 or so people do you expect to have on staff April the 1st as we open it?
48 people. I expect to have all of them April 1st.
What's the minimum we could have?
48. Come on, Chief. I would not be on this allocation chart if I didn't feel that we needed them.
Outside of me, this is, it's, you know, we got the $430,000 thing here with the cap count, and we got to make that happen. And I just wonder what that milestone is in your mind. That would be a minimum threshold that we have to meet.
All right, any other questions?
Well, I'll have to look at that. I haven't come up with a minimum threshold in my mind yet.
I don't know. I just got, you know, with those salary ranges and everything, I just, Chief, the ball's in your park. I mean, you're the one that we have to rely upon to keep us well within budget.
Sure.
You want a very good police force. You want to pay everybody fair. You want to give everybody a fair benefits. And you also want to be fair to the citizens that we can afford this.
I agree.
All right, any other questions for Chief? All right, seeing that there's not any other discussion on this topic. Right, John? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the amended pay range chart passes. Thank you, Chief. All right, we have the new item 8. Tom, could you read, Brian, do you have anything as far as the documentation on that?
Yeah, everyone should have been received the sample contract on your desk. It's pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Almost a bit.
Okay.
I'm going to move this approved, but with a second, and I'll give a brief explanation of the services.
I'll second that.
Basically, what this is a contract with a local consulting firm, Connect Sound, and basically, Mayor Wright met with CEO last Friday. Relationship with the new administration is going starts very smoothly. But down the line, in the legislature, in order to protect ourselves and sort of have an insurance policy, to deal with legislative issues. None of us being professionals in that, it's just prudent, I think, that we look at these folks. In fact, the AJC rated this particular firm on Sunday in the paper as one of the prime movers and shakers on the political consulting side down there. At the end of the day, it's a group that's going to protect our interests down at the Gold Dome, keep us aware of legislative issues, and basically provide expert advice when we need it. Full disclosure, when Mr. Anderson and I formed Dunwoody Action Committee in order to get legislation through last March, we did hire these folks under that, so that's full disclosure. And one of the principals in this firm actually advised him on a campaign, paid him a small amount of money, and was ultimately successful in both of those endeavors with those services.
All right, thank you. And I'll start off the discussion path. Tom and piggyback, as everybody knows, Tom was assigned to head up the Legislative Affairs Committee for this council, and has come back with this recommendation. Councilman Taylor is right, very optimistic with the new administration and with CEO Bill Ellis and their commission in the CAB. On the flip side, I do believe it is prudent for this council to follow Tom's recommendation and to have representation down, looking out for our interests as well.
I also need to disclose that I use the same firm for my campaign, paid them a small amount of money for my campaign.
Robert.
I guess I got a question and a concern. One is that I note that this is for $55,000, and that's more than I was expecting. And two, you know, I see that we're signing this for a year at $4,583 a month. Is there not an option to do this just for the 4 or 5 months that the legislature's in session and come back and readdress this in April or May or June and see if we got our money's worth, we think we're getting our money's worth, see if we need to keep doing it?
The typical political consulting contracts go year-round on a retainer basis, sort of like you pay your attorney, because there are legislative activities, hearings, and panels, and things like that that meet in the off-legislative period. It's very typical of most of these firms that operate down there. And the $55,000 amount, Brian, can you address that? I mean, the initial was under a non-advertised rate under a professional services agreement. Can you split up the semantics on that?
They give us an initial rate that was higher than this. We requested that then have a lower rate. And then when they found out that this was going to be an actual advertised rate, they stated they couldn't advertise at a rate less than this, and that's why they put this number back.
Robert, do we have it budgeted?
So, Warren, can you speak to that, please?
No. This isn't something that we have necessarily contemplated. There's certainly professional services funds within the budget. Nothing directed specifically toward this. It is going to, we'll have an opportunity probably, I'm estimating about 60 days to come back to council to reconvene on anything that we missed in the budget, possibly do a budget amendment at that time. We can certainly bring that up at that time or now, however y'all would like to choose it to move forward.
Is there anything specifically we're expecting to happen to go home with this useful loan?
Nothing specific to that's been filed yet or anything like that, but right now, basically, we need to have all the tools in the box available to proceed should we need to with any subdivision comes up. And right now, DeKalb County is negotiating with us on some of these things, but they've retained certain services on staff to look at contingencies, and I think we need to do the same. Back to the interest of the citizens there.
I just make a couple points. I agree with Robert. This is a very, very expensive issue we're talking about here. There's also, I know Connect South also. I did not do it personally, but as a representative of Dunwoody, yes,
I dealt with Connect South personnel to push the city. But you know, that is a lot of money, and I agree with you. I would point out three things to all of us here and to the folks there. Last week in DeKalb County, at their first meeting, both of the representatives that represent our area were stripped of all committees and leadership. Well, they're still on committees, but the leadership of committees, if they are on a committee, they are in the minority. The newly elected commissioner who replaced Mr. Ellis is now I think the chairman of at least two of those committees, although it's just brand new. So basically, I'm telling you that we lost a lot of our leadership positions from our representatives. I think I agree with the mayor 100%. Earl Ellis wants to work with us, but I think it is also prudent responsibility for us to have a contingency plan. And we're talking about over 200 acres of parkland and over $7 million worth of, we think, quote unquote, in that neighborhood of $7 million worth of bond money still out there. So that is a lot of money. I will be the first person to say that. I would like to see that under 50. I will tell you, this group is good. They know a lot of the leadership in the House is where we probably have any problems. I'm sorry. Can I bring you? Okay. There are just things here to be taken a look at, and the parks are a very, very integral part of our community. Robert, I agree with you about the money. I agree with you. I squeeze a nickel till the buffalo jumps off. But, in this case, it might be money well spent. It was just like last year when they hired me to get this through the House. It was one of those things that if we don't do it, we'll be sorry for the rest of our lives because we may not become a city. If we don't do this, maybe Mr. Ellis will come across. If nothing else, this will give us some leverage. But I think we have 4 votes against us on the city, on the DeKalb Council right now, the DeKalb County Commission. I think that's where I went after a while. So it's an expensive adventure, but I also think it's a prudent adventure. Seeing the stakes are high, considering the DeKalb County Commission makeup, considering the amount of land that's at stake, and considering the amount of bond money, $7 million that's at stake.
I think, Warren, on professional services, could this money, are you saying this money could not come out of that fund?
It can. I guess what I was trying to explain is that there is a pot of money in there, I think over
140 or something.
Over $500,000 or $600,000 in that account. Those funds are committed to our legal services and all sorts of board.
Right.
So there's nothing extra added in there. Certainly in these kind of cases, contingency is normally where a council would go to draw down the funds, put those in expenditure accounts if you so choose.
Okay. John.
This is an expensive contract, no doubt about it. It's also a very important issue for the city to look forward to. We have the transfer of properties, and we have the $7 million that's basically been promised to us in a bond referendum. We've been negotiating fairly as much as we can with DeKalb County, the new administration. We're hopeful. This is a tool in the toolbox which we're going to have to try to use, in my opinion. We had, as Councilman Shortle stated, a possible change in the administration voting structure of DeKalb County. We also have, at times, an adversarial relationship with some of the DeKalb County commissioners. Jeff Rader stated that he wanted to padlock the parks. He wanted to close the parks. I'm very concerned about the transfer of properties, and I think this needs to go forward. We need to have every tool in the toolbox. We need to be looking at every angle. I think DeKalb County should be negotiating with us fairly in order to transfer the property. I also think that we're going to be paying for that bond referendum for the next 30 years. We should be looking to get the money that was promised specifically for that park. Everything's on the table. We're negotiating fairly, but yet we got to be looking at other legal means as well.
Thanks, John. Robert.
Guys, this one troubles me. It troubles me for a couple of reasons. One, it's expensive. We only passed the budget a week ago, and already we're looking at a $55,000 expense that wasn't budgeted. And if we're going to do this, we need to find $55,000 we're not going to spend somewhere else, in my opinion. Because we're going to keep finding things, and it's very tempting to say, well, let's just take it out of the surplus. The second thing that worries me, though, is that I think this sets us up for an adversarial relationship with the county. Their reaction to this could very well be to push forward with some of the lawsuits they've been threatening on. In other words, you know, we sort of had this idea that once CEO Ellis got in, that we would find ways to do this through negotiation instead of through litigation or legislation. Right? I mean, I think that's the goal, is to find a way to do this as a negotiated settlement rather than try to push something through the State House or rather than try to duke this out in a courtroom. And I think this will be seen as us not sort of giving that a chance. Right? We haven't really tried to do the negotiation thing. And I'll make one small correction to what Councilman Shortle said. There has clearly been a coup at the county commission. Right? There's been a changing of power. But Elaine Boyer, who is our county commissioner, has retained her chairmanship. The people who were stripped of their chairmanships were Rader and Gannon, but Elaine Boyer was not. So, just so you know, the politics are a little more complicated than just we had a block of four and we could get things through, and now we've got a block of three and we won't be able to. There's obviously a lot of other stuff working off down there, and I'm worried about this one. I think this is waving a red flag in front of a bull, is what I think. So I think I'm going to vote against it.
I guess my last comment on it would be, you know, at the end of the day, DeKalb has contingency plans in place for legislative, legal, whatever actions. And, for you know, at the end of the day, coming back to the residents of Dunwoody and saying, you know, we didn't have a contingency or we didn't have all the tools in the box that we needed to get this done, you know, I think we need to improve this.
I agree, and I think, Robert, I amen both sides here because you're right. I mean, hopefully this will not be seen as an adversarial position, but on the flip side, we do need to figure how to protect, you know, Dunwoody's interests in our biggest issues that are coming to date. And I think we all know, on the police side of it, you know, there's $1 million down the drain right there because we didn't have any choice. So again, I'm more than optimistic that we can proceed as partners. But and I do agree with you Robert. I hope that this is not seen as anything more than smart business from our legislative expert over here and his recommendations. So I appreciate everybody's thoughts and any other discussion on this before we move it forward.
Yes, I just like to make one comment on that issue. And Robert is right, you are right. It could be easy. I would suggest that the mayor contact the CEO if we pass this tomorrow morning, and explain why we're doing this, to protect our rights as citizens in case of, you know, negotiations, that we're looking forward to having a settlement. If it doesn't happen, we have to have a contingency plan.
I will do that, and in my last meeting with CEO Ellis, I also mentioned this possibility, and that it was a possibility, so that's already been announced in discussion, so hopefully it will be yes.
How do you react to that?
It wasn't a bombshell, Robert. It's in context of a well more than a 2.5 hour meeting or so. Yes, John.
One last question. The Georgia Municipal Association also represents us, I believe, for these types of matters. Have we explored that option?
We have not, but generally the GMA will assist with lobbying on issues of statewide.
Right, stuff.
We don't necessarily like to meddle into the affairs of the cities and the counties specifically.
Okay. I'll just back up more on that. Basically, you know, haven't spent a lot of time in the legislature. What the GMA does is if you have an issue that affects a lot of cities, they'll go advocate for the city as much as the county organizations advocate for that. But they don't typically take on individual cases unless it affects city statewide, you know, like a general legislative issue. Like that,
And I'll take it for granted that this lobbying firm has little or no relationship right now with DeKalb County. Is there any conflict with them? Are they... are they dealing with that?
I'll say that there is a relationship there. This was the firm that when Mr. Anderson and I formed the Dummy Action Committee, we hired to provide advice and consultation and actually push the legislation forward on SB 82 that got us the city, which is why we're sitting here today. They were very effective at that. In fact, so much so that they were able to train General Shortle on short notice to lobby and turn around several lawmakers down there.
I was not paid.
No.
We bought the lunch.
All right, any other discussion on this? No. All right, seeing that there is none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, the item passes. Next item is Jennings Edition. I don't have the wording, but it had to do with monthly reports on bike and voice and financial status. First one, Brian, do you have the wording for this?
No, I did not take it from.
Okay, Jenny, would you read this, please?
Discussion vote on a monthly update of the status and the costs of the Boykin contract by the city manager at the first regular city council meeting of the month. The cost would be through the end of the previous month. The exception being the cost from December 31st to be given at the 26th January meeting.
All right, questions?
Can I move that motion?
Okay.
Second.
Is there second discussion on this?
I think it's a subject that you need to keep a handle on going down. Down the line, I think I saw that here a while ago. There it is. You know, I think it's fair for him and it's fair for me to both know exactly where we are on this. There are very few issues that they are still involved with the city. There are a couple big ones, but the cost has decreased. But I think it's fair that the city council be briefed prior to the, which it's a 15th of the month automatic renewal unless we take action, that it may be briefed on the status and also the cost up to that date so that we can step forward knowing 100% of what's going on and also the citizens know also.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions for Warren? Warren?
Right. And what have we spent today? Does staff recommend, this is the last time we're going to meet before the 15th of January, should we be considering a resolution that terminates the agreement with Boykin at the end of the month of January?
I don't have the exact figures on hand today to advise you on the exact expenditures. We do estimate from the last accounting that we were going to be $400,000 or under total. The original estimate was $575,000, and I'll certainly get the exact numbers to y'all as directed by the vote, but even without the vote, I'd be happy to share all that information anytime. My recommendation is to go ahead with the contract. I'll tell you why. One is that we do have two open projects that are still ongoing. One is the real estate issue of the construction services. And logistical services for the City Hall relocation. to get to happen, and that we estimate will go up until, you know, April or May of this year. The second is one of the projects that was contemplated in the original contract was the cohesion of all the policies and procedures from the different operating areas. We've got three private vendors and then the city departments as well. So one of their tasks is to put that all together into a cohesive document so that we can operate within policies and procedures. So those two projects will be ongoing past certainly the January termination date. The other consideration is that there's no base payment on this contract. We pay for the services as we go, and I'd hate to not have them available to us to be able to utilize where appropriate. So at this point, I would not recommend terminating the contract.
Thank you, Warren.
Then
the reason that the cost for through December 31st I put in there for 26 January because it was unfair to throw that at Warren at 4 o'clock.
Okay. Have we gotten a bill?
Yes.
Okay.
We're contemplating whether to pay it or not.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, so Warren, I know this is a new item. Thoughts from yourself or staff about this particular item?
Certainly, you know, any information we're happy to provide. You know, generally, anything that y'all request, we're happy to give to you and announce publicly at the meetings where appropriate. So, you know, certainly I don't know that a vote is necessary to get that kind of information from us, but certainly happy to provide it.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah. I just, you know, one of the things, Warren, you might want to address, you know, those are the two issues that we have open. All other issues, I think I'm correct in saying, have been transferred to the city employees. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is one small item that's taking up a very minor amount of time, which is the municipal court, which, you know, it's maybe 2 or 3 hours a week of working time and still helping us transition. And we're hoping to announce, hopefully soon, that we have a municipal court clerk, and then there'll be zero expenditure on that from that time forward.
Okay.
That's the only issue, the only other issue, too, I mentioned.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions on this? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Warren. All right. That was, we have a new number, 10. Was that
no,
it?
That's it. We're done.
That was it.
8:45.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. All right, we're on
a
public comment.
It's all public comment.
Where's Lenny? Lenny? No public comment cards.
Well, I got
If you would please, sir, just go ahead and stand up at the at the podium there.
This is probably really, really silly.
Nothing is silly, but tell us who you are and where you live, please, for the record.
My name is Joe Stitch. I'm at 5609 Mill Race Court. We have recently adopted a dog, and I don't know where to register. Is that a city function or is that county function?
DeKalb County.
Okay. I was hoping to give my money to you guys.
I can tell you that's where it is because I just swore all the animal control officers.
Okay. I just want to know where I needed to pay.
So can you...
And so just, yes, Lynn.
Can you go ahead and fill that out?
I will.
Thank you.
And just a point of order for the public comment. Council is not supposed to engage with the public as much as we have to bite our tongues. So we'll continue with public comment, but since Denny made a comment, I'll take liberty as chair of this meeting to announce that we did swear in the North Precinct a whole bunch of officers, and I swore in the first night with Chief, or the first day. And the second day, they threw at us another swearing in at the last second, and I had some more meetings the next day with new CEO Ellis and some others. So I called up Councilman Shortle as Mayor Pro Tem and gave him the job. Unfortunately, that was the swear in the dog catchers down at
the end. That was qualified for.
What do you think? He did a great job.
Very good. The good news is I got to get out a jail-free card for my dogs. The rest of you are getting dogs, except Ken, you get five.
It was strange that I did find five pit bulls foaming at the mouth in my backyard that evening.
They were cheap.
All right, enough of that. Thank you. Any other public comment? Mr. Sims?
I have some, if you don't mind me speaking.
Please do.
I'd like to, I will get a thank my great chief. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. I guess my main thing is I would like some guidance potentially by the council on how policing is going to happen. I know we're going to be set to start this ramp up and get crazy here in about 100 days. I guess my biggest concern is it seems like we have $430,000 in the budget associated with fines. I don't know exactly what that is, but in my estimation, if I just take that divided by 12, actually by 9, because we only have 9 months of the budget, that's $48,000. The average ticket is $150. That means officers should be taking 318 tickets, or if it's, say, 250, that would be $191. DeKalb only gave us 60 tickets last month, according to Mr. Hunt. Bonker. So I guess I'm just concerned about the expectations on the budget that we're going to be writing 3 to 5 times as many tickets as DeKalb County is currently. I guess on the flip side, Mr. Hennigan was nice enough to present us with just a short snippet of 15 days from 12-15 to 1-9 that had 120 crime incidents for DeKalb County. You know, including auto theft, break-in and entering, shoplifting, burglary, and most alarming, 4 pedestrian robberies. I guess I'm just looking for some guidance on what policies and procedures the council is looking for in the police department. How can we have parole officers protecting, serving, and hopefully decreasing the crime when we expect them to provide ticket revenue by a factor of 3 to 5 times what the current DeKalb County is doing? I, for one, don't want us to continue to phone in crime that DeKalb offers. And I don't see how we're going to get around doing that if a lot of our officers' time is going to be busy writing tickets and going to court for follow-up. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Sims. Do you like to speak?
I got a quick question.
Sure, if you could announce who you are, please.
My name is Jeffrey Brower. I was here a little late. I don't know if y'all went over this or not. When is building permits going to be accepted for the city of Dunwoody?
8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
We're in business.
We just prepared at 400 Northridge Road, Suite 1250. Anybody else ask one? No, just if you come to the front desk and ask for a building permit, we'll take good care of you.
Thank you so much.
If you're first, we'll take a picture. He's coming late.
All right, any other public comments?
Chief, do you want me to comment on that statement about how our office works with cities dealing with traffic enforcement?
Please.
That's a good question. And we deal with it about 600 times throughout the state. That could be the number of municipalities our state has. Traffic enforcement.
Your title, who you're representing, and what you're speaking.
Yeah, I'm Todd Dallas. I'm the director of the Governor's Office of Highway Safety. And working with law enforcement in the area, certainly one of those that we've been working with for years, traffic enforcement is a key component of overall crime enforcement. And when you do good traffic enforcement within a community, what you also find is a lot of the crimes that we just referenced go down. The bad guys go to work in cars. And it has to be fair, it has to be done openly, and in a kind of way that the public is sensitive to what law enforcement is doing. But just realize that when you have a good traffic enforcement unit out there, crime across the board will go down. And if you look at some of our neighbors, such as Doraville and Chamblee, they've been able to deploy that pretty effectively. And I know Marietta has done an extremely good job with it. So Chief Logan, I'm sure, has much more experience than I do hands-on dealing with that. You know, a number of national programs. Everything from your broken window theory of law enforcement to a new program coming out of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration with the Justice Department called DDACS, specifically targets bringing those together based on your data to use good traffic enforcement and crime suppression to prevent the number one cause of death for people from 1 to 38 in the state of Georgia, which is crashes. And you know, you read about that 14
his wife who was killed, and, you know, nobody came. Great lady. But, you know, you think of the family of that person had an officer stopped her ahead of time. Let's say, yeah, she'd been drinking, that's just my father. You know, those kinds of things. So nobody wants to get a ticket. Trust me, nobody wants to get a ticket. You know that. But when law enforcement does a good job of traffic enforcement, we all benefit. So I think I'll talk to you more about that later. Without going overboard, you know, they can balance it in an LG program.
Thank you, Mr. Dennis. We appreciate that expert perspective there. With that, I am going to adjourn this meeting. Thank you.